call this meeting to the special board meeting of the District 90 Board of Education, Monday, July 17th.
Wednesday, July
19th. I'm sorry, Wednesday, reading the wrong agenda. Wednesday, July 17th, 2017, 19th, 6:30 p.m. May I have a roll call, please?
Yes. Mrs. DeGracias.
Present.
Mrs. Hickey.
Present.
Dr. Thompson.
Present.
Ms. Williams.
Present.
We'd like to recognize visitors and invite comments from the public. We do not have any. We have someone in the audience, but he's not a visitor. At least he won't be by the end of the next meeting. I would like to ask for approval of the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Ms. Williams?
Yes.
Dr. Thompson?
Yes.
Mrs. Hickey?
Yes.
Mrs. DeGracias?
Yes. Our next order of business is to review the first draft of the tentative budget for 2017 and 18. Nicole Thompson being our finance committee chair.
Yes. So we met and we went over the budget last week, and I did have a few questions, but Anthony was gracious enough to go through all of those and to answer those, and he's prepared today to kind of give a stepwise review of the budget. So if you guys have any questions, feel free to ask.
Okay. Well, if everyone can turn to page one of their packet for the special board meeting, you'll see the page that says first draft at the top. If you remember, I will present to you the budget in its entirety with details on the education, the operations and maintenance, the transportation, and the working cash fund, and any summary information on the non-operating funds this year, being the debt service and the IMRF fund. We don't have a capital projects fund anticipated for fiscal year 18 because we don't have any large capital projects happening this summer or into this school year. I expect if we do have anything bigger next time, we'll probably see that capital projects fund come back for the fiscal year 19 budget. So the first page is the educational fund revenues. I'm consistent in the way I presented this from past presentations, which you'll see the revenue sources on the left. Anything that starts with a 1 is a local source. Anything that starts with a 3 is a state source. And starting on page 2, you'll see anything that starts with a 4 would be a federal source flowing through the state. I show the 2016-17 budget, the 2016-17 actual amounts that came in as we just finished the fiscal year, and the proposed budgets for next year, with a percentage change from budget to budget and a percentage change from proposed budget to last year's actual. So to understand where these revenues are going, we'll start with the property tax levies and the special education levy combined with that. These property tax levies, both of them, are based on the levy allocation strategy that you and I have discussed many years, that the fact that the assessed valuations were decreasing in River Forest, the tax rate was going up based on the formula, and so we had to funnel more into the special ed levy, even though it all goes into the education fund budget. So that's why you'll see a decrease in the education fund levy and an increase in the special education levy. Next year's assessed valuation is a triennial reassessment year, and we anticipate that the assessed valuations will go up approximately 30%, and those of you who have gotten your assessed valuations in the mail recently, which will apply to next year's tax bill, you'll know that those amounts have gone up a significant amount. Yeah. So we won't need to do this special education levy increase in the next year because we anticipate that the rates will go down. But we are working off of a 0.7% CPI increase, which was established last December. So you'll see those relative increases we have there on the first two lines. One other thing to note, and when Nicole and I discussed this, and I'm jumping all the way down to the 3000 series, starting with general state aid and some mandated categoricals. The time we discussed this, I told Nicole that the general state aid line, which last year was 515, received that exact amount in the actual. and budgeted 533. I based that off of the pro forma worksheet on the State Board of Ed website, and knowing that the budget had just been passed. But after our discussion, hearing that there was no vehicle to pay these monies out based on what's been going on in the legislature in the last few days, that Rauner may use this as his last bargaining chip to say, well, we passed the budget, but we're not going to release any of the money. I may change these all to zeros. So that $533,000 and the $551,000, and that will significantly change how this looks until we hear. Remember, we have until the end of September to pass this budget, knowing full well that we should be receiving these amounts, maybe not in this format, because those mandated categorical lines, transitional assistance down through special ed summer school, those may not even be in existence under the new budget. There may be a combined funding formula under the new model, but the dollar amounts may be close to that. So this is an area that, while I was confident since the budget was passed, would be roughly about $1 million, I have no confidence until they get their fight completed. And the federal funds on the next page are relatively consistent based on the grants that we do have. If you see the grand total from the previous year's budget of $20,402,000 to an actual last year of $20,403,000, I'm sorry I was off by $1,300. And $20,320,000 for the budget for the education fund. Any questions at all about our educational fund revenues? For the educational fund expenditures, you'll see that using the Illinois Program Accounting Manual, I've broken them up into the required functions and objects. And functions are the bolded areas, even though I have some extra ones just for informational reasons. But all of the objects are what the objects, so salaries, employee benefits, purchase services, supplies, capital outlay, dues and fees, and non-capital equipment. The biggest one is the regular programs, so your regular program expenditures. As you can see, the salaries increased from the prior year actual of about 5.26%. Well, I can say that's based on the 2.6% collective bargaining agreement increase for this year. It was 2.1 plus the additional institute day of 0.5 or 2.6. Plus we have two new sections of Willard, which you approved at the staffing plan. We have an additional art teacher at Willard, which you approved. We also had some FMLAs in last year's actual, which made them go lower since we weren't paying people in this function because they were out on leave. And we have some retirement stipends going in to this area based on the people who are in the pipeline for this year, which makes up those percentage increases. The benefits are based on the TRS amounts that we pay, and as well as the health insurance increase, which is PPO went up by about 6.1%, HMO went up by a little less, so it averages out to somewhere in the fives. So as you can see, the change from the actual on benefit side is about 5.33. Moving down a few sections to early childhood, you'll see some increases that seem in salaries and benefits. We have an additional section of that at Willard, as well as the cooperative agreement with the River Forest Community Center, so that makes accounts for that increase. Going on to page 4, into the area of gifted. That is very similar to last year's budget, but the increase from last year's actual is due to the fact that we had another teacher here on a FMLA in the last year's actual for a significant amount. So that's really an artificial increase since the budget is almost exactly as it was. Now the line that I told all new board members at their orientation, special education tuition line, that would be well over budget, and it was. So we had a budget last year of 425, which represented 6 students. We had an actual number of students of 13, so that made $727,000, and we are estimating it to be 10 students in this year, so that's why it's down to 550. We'll do everything we can to keep that in line, but if a student comes in or leaves, it's really uncontrollable. Moving down into the social work section, we have an unusual situation, and I know it's not that much money, but percentage-wise it's big, and the purchase services line going up 23%. We have an outside contractor, Lutheran Family Services, who never billed us for the entire amount of fiscal year 17, so I'm budgeting for not only, and they're not the only vendor, but not only am I, they're going to bill us for 17, they'll bill us for 18 as well, thus the 23% increase. Another one, improvement of instruction down at the bottom of the page, significant increases from prior actual and the budget. In that line on salaries is includes the loosening of the reins on the requirements to for teachers to obtain the $2,000 curriculum stipend per the collective bargaining agreement, as well as what we're expecting to be $197,000 of the Thursday meeting stipend, which was the chip we used to essentially finalize the CBA, all in that line. So that's that large increase. On to page five, the technology area. A change from the prior year budget, a decrease of almost 20%. I can say that in last year's budget, it was anticipated that the director of technology, who requested it during the staffing plan, get an additional 12-month person, and it never materialized, and he was able to do it without adding that person, which is why the actual was much lower than budget, but then this proposed is not much higher. Than prior year actual. And his purchase services, supplies, and capital outlay fluctuate based on what his technology plan is for this year. Moving down about four or five sections to building principals, you'll see some large increases in salaries and employee benefits due to the fact that we have a new assistant principal at Lincoln/Willard. The business office section, you have an increase from the prior year actual of 10.94% and a decrease of almost 90% in purchase services. That was due to an unusual situation last year. We had two employees leave mid-year, needed a temp service, so that's why the purchase services were so high, but the salaries were lower because we didn't have those people, and now we're back. We've hired both those positions, and it's now very close to last year's budget. How am I doing that? So going on to the end of the total expenditures, you can see last year a $19,060,000 budget, a $19,042,000 actual, and then a $20,313,000. Any questions at all on the education fund? And we'll cover this again when we get to the summary page. Page 7, you can see it now just combined by object, and you can, and I think I've highlighted just about everything that made any significant increase. The operations and fund, operations and maintenance fund, the revenue side, the property taxes are relatively even, the replacement taxes relatively even, everything else is relatively even, so its total is relatively even. The O&M expenditures on page 9, a couple things of note. As you can see, the custodial salaries were had a significant change from the prior actual. Mainly because we had two building engineers who were out for almost 14 weeks each on workers' comp, in which we only pay them two-thirds of their salary. But as you can see, the part-time salaries of people we needed to fill in for them was well over in terms of the actual, so the budgets are now back to normal, which makes an explanation for those percentage changes. The maintenance and repair had us the ground services has us last year having additional landscaping projects, and this wasn't have anything to do with Roosevelt, but just portions of the Roosevelt project that weren't covered under the larger project, as well as at Lincoln and Willard to try to do things to make things a little easier to move around, as well as prettying things up that we didn't expect to do, so that was that, but we have significantly less projects planned for this year. But as you can see, if you look at the subtotal line, because I don't want to skew it with the transfers to capital projects funds, but the subtotal line is, I believe I've explained those differences of why we have what we have, basically due to the building projects in this fund that don't qualify for capital projects. And then you can see we have no transfer to capital projects fund because there isn't one. Transportation fund is a similar property tax levy. When we get to the final pages and we talk about the fund balance in the transportation fund, the levy strategy that we've had for many years is to continue to deplete the transportation fund until it's only has a couple years left of fund balance, and then we'll start to raise that levy back up, obviously having to take it from somewhere else. So that's why you do see a deficit spending plan here, is to get that transportation fund balance down. because we do have several years' worth, and we don't want objections to those fund balances. The 3,000 or special state-funded special ed reimbursement of 225, I believe that was made safe. Once again, if we cannot expect a payment, I could make this zero, but I'm less concerned about this one than I am about the others. The expenditures here, if you notice the line 331, exceptional child, you see it be 415 last year's budget, 496 actual, and 400 this year's budget. Consider that the same as that special ed tuition, 6 kids to 13 kids down to 10 kids. Capital Projects Fund shows the prior year activity, but with no proposed budget. Now for the moment of truth. The moment of truth in this is where are we going to be at the end of this budget? Knowing that we had discussed in the past that this may be the year that we go into deficit spending. The education fund, the operating funds, as you can see on page 12, in essence, it is a balanced budget because we are have more revenues than expenditures. So we're still not in deficit spending. That does not take into account, though, if I modify this and take out almost $1 million. But as of right now, if we're going to get any state funding at all, we are still not deficit spending. But as you can see in the education fund, we made it by $7,000. So everything that we've said, we can expect with the normal inflationary rates of things that we will be in deficit spending next year. Or we'll be in deficit spending this year if the state does not pay all of its quarterly payments or any of its state aid payments. And then finally, the operating fund, non-operating funds are out of our control. Debt service fund is collecting taxes and interest, the payment of the bonds and interest, and they are set per the debt service schedule in our one bond issue, the working cash fund bonds from 2014. And the IMRF fund is the non-certified pension fund that includes Social Security and Medicare as well. Any questions at all about that? I know that was very fast. But I believe I hit the high points. When we look at how we compare to the projections from last November, we are very close, looking better than we thought, as I said. We did expect a little reduction in revenues and an increase in expenditures based on the fact that our projections showed the reduction in state revenues per the old House bill, and it showed an increase in expenditures based on me putting in the pension cost shift, which hasn't happened yet. So there were a couple of things in last projection that we were doing it because we wanted to be conservative, but have not materialized yet, and I say yet because I'm sure it will. So now any questions, sorry, or if you'd like to add.
The other big unknown, of course, is the potential for the property tax freeze moving forward. So it's the uncertainty down in Springfield, well, as Anthony acknowledged, the budget has been passed, but there's still an awful lot of uncertainty.
When we were doing collective bargaining, I calculated out using our projection formulas and spreadsheets of what a two-year property tax freeze would do to us, and it would cost $500,000 per year in perpetuity, because you'll never get that back. So obviously it would take a while for it to go into effect. Even if they said we'll do a two-year tax freeze now, it wouldn't go into effect until next levy year, which doesn't get hit until the following fiscal year. So it certainly is not anything that we need to be concerned about in this budget. But when I do the projections in November, it may be something we would want to add in, and that's for you and your board president and the rest of the board to discuss.
The other item that's probably worth acknowledging, and of course nothing's final until it's signed and put into effect, but the current state of the pension dynamic could very well be less expensive for the school district than was originally anticipated. The pension language right now would indicate that the district would be on the hook for additional costs if it were to come to fruition, for basically picking up a pension cost shift on any salary in excess of $177,000, but potentially no additional cost shift and the creation of a new tier 3 pension system, which would be intended to serve new employees. Even that, of course, the State Board of Ed has indicated would take some time to become actionable. Apply to TRS, I believe it might might also apply to SURS and some of the other pension systems in the state of Illinois. And all of those respective systems would need time to structure them and set them up. And that doesn't preclude the fact that there could still be suits regarding the constitutionality of that. So anyway, the uncertainty, while it's certainly undesirable, we'd all love to know so that we can plan. It's nice that things aren't, forthcoming in a way that, we are getting the worst,
right,
necessarily.
Two other points. If you remember the budget calendar, we'll look at this again at the August regular board meeting, so August 21st, I believe. It will go on public display the Friday before that, or the Thursday before that, sorry. Oh, I'm sorry, Friday before that. It'll go into the paper as a notice. So the Thursday before that's talking about it being on public display and then setting the hearing date for September, 17th, 18th. I don't know what that Monday is off the top of my head. So this is a fluid document. So if there's anything you think about, say I don't really like the way it looks, or I'm worried about presenting it that way, it can change up until the night that you approve it in September. And the last point, with no provocation from me, I received a phone call from Moody's Investor Services, our rating agency for our bond rating, and had a long interview. They scheduled this interview with me to discuss our financial situation, historical and moving forward. And whenever they call you, it's pretty much because of a bond rating change request that they're an analyst feel is necessary. So I said, knowing the situation that the state has passed their budget and knowing how right now it's affecting us, I won't say insignificantly, but not as significant as others, are you talking about possibly decreasing our bond rating? And he said, no, believe it or not, we're considering raising it. Mm-hmm. That would be unheard of in this time. So I don't want to make any promises, and I probably shouldn't have told you to get your hopes up, but right now we're at a AA2 bond rating, which is the third level down, from AAA being one, AA1 being the second. So we could possibly go up or stay the same. It didn't sound like there was going to be any decrease in our bond rating.
And the implication of going up means what?
Better interest rates when we sell bonds, but since it's okay. And 2019, we do have our new life safety survey, and we've left some flexibility in our debt service extension base to be able to issue bonds to pay for some of those projects if needed. So that would be a nice time. We did the same thing in where we sold working cash fund bonds around 2004, and then in 2009 we sold a very small life safety bond. So it would be great to have better rates. Now our rates are extremely low right now, but I don't know where I'll be in 2019. So if you have.
That certainly represents good news.
Yeah. Well, it's good news when it happens.
Yeah. Certainly better than the alternative.
Yes. So we will probably find out before your August meeting. Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
No, thank you.
Then I have nothing else. Nothing.
The only comment I'd wish to add, if I may, Nicole, is just a compliment to Anthony for his attention to detail with this. As we all know, he works very hard to make sure that the information that our board members and the administrative team gets is accurate and transparent, certainly to the community, and represents our best possible picture, most accurate, I should say, possible picture of the district's expenditures and revenues. That's a lot of money. So
thank you.
Thank you
for
the great work.
You actually answered questions that I had. I said that this would be listening.
You read your mind, right?
Yeah.
We need a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.